So we read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, starting with chapter 8 of the Madhya Leela, text number 112 to 127. So this is 127. I'll read the from 112 to 126. And just myself, then we can repeat the 127 together, okay? When Radharani left the Ras dance out of anger and resentment, Lord Sri Krishna became very anxious because he could not see her. Lord Krishna's desire in the Ras dance, our Ras Leela circle, is perfectly complete, but Srimati Radharani is the binding link in that desire. The Ras dance does not shine in the heart of Krishna without Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he also gave up the circle of the Ras dance and went out to search for her. When Krishna went out to search for Srimati Radharani, he wandered here and there. Not finding her, he became afflicted by the arrow of Cupid and began to lament. Sri Krishna's lusty desires were not satisfied even in the midst of hundreds and thousands of gopis, and he was thus searching after Srimati Radharani. We can easily imagine how transcendentally qualified she is. After hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda Roy, That for which I have come to your residence has now become an object of truth in my knowledge. Now I have come to understand the sublime goal of life and the process of achieving it. Nevertheless, thinking that there is something more ahead, and my mind is desiring to have it. Kindly explain the transcendental features of Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Also explain the truth of transcendental mellows and the transcendental form of love of God. Kindly explain all these truths to me, but for yourself no one can ascertain them. Sri Ramananda Roy replied, I do not know anything about this. I simply vibrate the sound you make me speak. I simply repeat, like a parrot, whatever instructions you have given to me. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, who can understand your dramatic performances. You inspire me within the heart and make me speak with the tongue. I do not know whether I am speaking well or badly. Lord Chaitanya said, I am a Mayavadi in the renounced order of life, and I do not even know what transcendental loving service to the Lord is. I simply float in the ocean of Mayavad philosophy. Due to the association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, my mind became enlightened. Therefore, I asked him about the truth of transcendental loving service to Krishna. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told me, I do not actually know about the topics of Lord Krishna. They are all unknown to Ramananda Roy, but he is not present here. No, now we have the verse. Translation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, after hearing about your glories, I have come to your place, but you are offering me words of praise out of respect for a sannyasi, one in the renounced order of life, purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains that a mundane person being enriched by mundane opulences must always know that transcendental opulences of the advanced devotee are far more important than the materialistic opulences of a person like himself. A materialistic person with material opulences should not be very proud are puffed up before a transcendental devotee. If one approaches a transcendental devotee on the strength of one's material heritage, opulence, education and beauty, and does not offer respect to the advanced devotee of the Lord, the Vaishnava devotee may offer formal respects to such a materially puffed up person, but he may not deliver transcendental knowledge to him. Indeed, the devotee sees him as a non-Brahman or Shudra. Such a puffed up person cannot understand the science of Krishna. A proud person is deceived in transcendental life and, despite having attained a human form, will again glide into hellish conditions. By his personal example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains how one should be submissive and humble before a Vaishnava, even though one may be situated on a high platform. Such is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Acharya of the world, the Supreme Spiritual Master and Teacher. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastacha Chitarine. So I'd like to go back to the 124. We're on to 127. But Prabhupada hasn't written any purport, so generally we don't comment. But there is something connected to this 127. So 124 says, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am a Mayavadi in the renounced order of life, and I do not even know what transcendental loving service to the Lord is. I simply float in the ocean of Mayavad philosophy. So this is the nature of an advanced devotee. An advanced devotee, it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Premera Svabhava Yahan Premera Sambandha. Premera Svabhava Yahan Premera Sambandha. Nahi Prema Ganda. Nahi Prema Ganda means assent. Ganda means assent. That the devotee doesn't even think he's a devotee. And he doesn't think he's got a scent of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. so this is difficult to understand. How somebody become so, devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and yet think he hasn't any devotion. So why is that? Why would a devotee feel like that? One can say it's natural humility by understanding in truth Krishna's real position. That's one reason. Any other reasons? That's an obvious reason, isn't it? That we start to just like Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was talking to Krishna just like an ordinary friend. And then when Krishna showed his universal form, he fell to his knees and started offering prayers like anything. And so, that's one understanding. We start to see our insignificant situation. We're Anu, very minute. But Krishna's Vibhu is very great. But another thing is that Krishna is always protecting his devotee. Even Indra in the Indra Yajna, the Indra pastime with the Govardhan Leela, that whole pastime one of the main reasons was that, Krishna saw the pride of his devotee. Indra is not an ordinary devotee. We call him materialistic devotee. But, somebody who actually sees Krishna and performs a service of being the king, the king of all the demigods, he's pretty advanced. And so Krishna performed that pastime just to protect him from pride. So this is also another reason that, the Supreme Lord manifests that consciousness on a devotee to protect him from pride, protect him from falling down. And as we'll hear, is a real opulence. He talks a little later about opulences. So Lord Chaitanya's life is full of information of how to practice as a devotee. We have to be very, very simple, very, very humble. And in that condition, we get the mercy. Somebody who's simple and humble, they get all the mercy. And as it says here, that a devotee, Prabhupada in the purport, if we're a little proud, then the senior devotee may feel this knowledge is actually not going to help this devotee. It may make him more proud, so he refrains from speaking like that. So everything's dependent on, what does Nectar of Instruction say? It's dependent on our attitude. Our attitude towards the devotees and our attitude towards Krishna. This is the real essence. And when that attitude is correct, then everything becomes possible. All other appearances are of no value, really. We're talking about material opulences in this particular purport. Material opulences, they appear very, very attractive. Is that right? Everybody's attracted by material opulences. Even though we're actually maybe advanced in knowledge, it's very difficult for a person to give them up. And the most subtle one is prestige, fame and adoration. So, even in devotional circles, when we get, we climb up the ladder a little bit. Is that right? Do we climb up the ladder? What is it? Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta. Yes! Bhakti Sarvabhauma. That's yet to come. But, spiritual life is not like that. Spiritual life means that the most maybe insignificant devotee could be the most advanced devotee. So Lord Chaitanya is setting that example in so many ways. It's not what we do, it's the mood that we do it in. So that's one thing that Lord Chaitanya is saying here. And what is a spiritual opulence? What's a spiritual opulence? That we can always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. We're all always absorbed in devotional service. And when we're always absorbed in thought of Krishna and devotional service, then we have everything. The heart's completely satisfied. There's a complete reciprocation between the devotee and the Lord. And nothing, in the third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that actually nothing can take that away. There's nothing can take that away from the devotee. Material opulences, even, so-called opulences in devotional service, which we get, are taken away at some point. Even Arjuna, he lost his opulences because Krishna wanted to show the world that he's the one who's given the opulence. And when it wasn't necessary, Arjuna, he couldn't even fight some untrained coward men. So like that. But one thing that he couldn't take away from Arjuna was his devotion. Why? Because, Krishna's purchased by that. There's nothing more powerful than a devotee's attitude towards Krishna. In that way, a devotee becomes, he's given the weapon or the facility to capture Krishna. So this is the beauty of this movement, that Srila Prabhupada, through the Acharyas, has given us this ability to use our free will again. For many, many lifetimes we've been wrapped up in so many material activities, but now we've been given the opulence of now you can use your, you have knowledge, you can use your free will in an appropriate way. And so that's one thing that is explained here, that Mahaprabhura Bhakta Ganera Vairagya Padan Yahandeki Prithihana Gaura Bhagavan. So that opulence, it drives away any material desire. He says when Lord Chaitanya sees that opulence of, what's that opulence? Renunciation. Krishna's giving us the opulence of renunciation. Bhagavad Gita is, you know, talking about knowledge and renunciation and bhakti. By gaining knowledge, we automatically become renounced. And then bhakti can manifest. So Mahaprabhura Bhakta Ganera Vairagya Padan Yahandeki Prishana Gaura Bhagavan. He says renunciation is the principle that sustains the life of all Lord Chaitanya's devotees. When we're renounced, then actually we feel enlivened in devotional service. And it says, therefore, when Lord Chaitanya sees that renunciation, he becomes very happy. You know, he's not happy to see that we're austere. He's happy to see the mood of renunciation, of attachment. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Paryojata Jnanati Asya Vairagyam Jnanacha Ahoitakam. Right at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Suta Goswami starts to answer the sage's questions. What is the most beneficial thing for people of this world? And immediately says, devotional service to Vasudev, to Lord Krishna. Because devotional service, actually, we automatically beget knowledge and renunciation. How is that? How is it, you know, it's not actually intellectual? We're taught to read Prabhupada's books. We're taught to study Prabhupada's books. Is that right? So why? If I'm saying, you know, what this particular verse is saying, that by devotional service. Of course, hearing the Shastras is devotional service. But there's so many processes of devotional service. It says, we hear to become determined. I can't remember the verse. There's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's have a think. It's one verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is it? Anyway, the verse is saying that we shouldn't neglect to study or discuss this literature of Lord Chaitanya. Of Lord Krishna, this Bhakti Yoga. It says, we shouldn't think it, sometimes we get into arguments with devotees on a certain point. We shouldn't get into too much of an argument, of course. We should argue with logic and, discrimination. But it says that's not bad. It says, because by such discussions, it strengthens the mind. We get realization. And the result of strengthening the mind, what does the Bhagavad Gita say? When the mind's controlled, we're naturally connected with the super soul. We become attracted to Krishna. So that's what Prabhupada wanted us to do. He said we should discuss this subject matter threadbare. But over and above that, you know, we don't necessarily have the intellect. Like, you know, this is maybe a controversial point, but I'm just making a point that Prabhupada said that, you know, the men are more philosophically inclined than the women. So that means that automatically the men, you know, most people in the spiritual world are men. Is that right? It's not like that. I say most of the women, aren't they? But, no, it's actually... And the other side to that is that if the women serve the husband, then they'll get the same opulence as the husband. But, you know, in this process of devotional service, this is another factor. What's that factor? Kesham sajata yuktanam bhajitam priti purvakam dadadi buddhi yogam tam yena mamupiyantite. You know, Krishna says, to those who are devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. I shine in within the heart, destroy with the lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. And so Prabhupada explains in those two purports that even if we're not capable of understanding the Shastra, we're not, you know, naturally philosophers or learned. He says, if the attitude is correct, I actually purify from within the heart and reveal knowledge. So this is the process of devotional service. But the process of actually trying to understand Krishna is actually purifying. It's a sign, isn't it? If we want to know something about somebody, if we are interested, we'll ask so many questions. You know, the example of a young boy and a young girl. If the young girl or young boy hears that the opposite sect, there's one person in the opposite sect, is actually asking questions, they'll be really interested. Who's that? You know, and there'll be questions. So in the same way, the same psychology is there. When Krishna hears somebody's interested or showing interest in him, he reciprocates. So this is why we have the Srimad Bhagavatam class, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita. It's not to become necessarily a learned scholar, but it's an opportunity to show Krishna how much we want to actually hear about him. And then automatically we'll start to become well-versed in the subject matter. So, renunciation, this is the first verse. This verse I mentioned about renunciation, this is a conversation between Raghunath Das Goswami and Lord Chaitanya. Raghunath Das Goswami is known as one of the greatest renunciants. You know, he used to, every day, he used to take a little bit of buttermilk in the palm of his hand and take that, or a little bit of butter. And that would keep him going all day. Then the same the next day, so. And then we've got the pastime where he left home, and his father was so opulent, it was unbelievable. But he left home, and Lord Chaitanya said, okay, first of all, he told him to go back and not be a fool. But then when he came the second time, he started to accept him, and he started to go through different phases of renunciation, until eventually he was just washing the rice that the cows wouldn't eat, washing all the bad bits of it and eating that. And so in devotional service, it's also a gradual process of renouncing the attachment to the material world and increasing the attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to spiritual activities. So it's progressive. And the Varnashram system is also a progressive system. Here we have Lord Chaitanya speaking to Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy is what people would now say is one of the grossest materialists. You know, he's got the ability. He's the governor of Madras. And, you know, when they take him he said he saw him coming on a palanquin. You know, and they were playing bugles. They were playing all kinds of instruments, just glorifying Ramananda Roy. You know. And then he bathed, and then Lord Chaitanya met him, and they embraced, and then they decided to meet. Then, you know, they were showing ecstatic symptoms. And so Lord Chaitanya understood that not everybody's a devotee, or they won't understand. So he said, we'll meet tonight and we'll discuss. And so this is the discussion which is taking place. Then he was a gross materialist. But still, you know, internally he was actually the greatest renunciate. So, in other words, devotional service is a process of, not ostensibly, it's not of renunciation, it's of bhakti. And so by following this process of dedicating our activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we get the higher taste in life. And when we get the higher taste, it's natural to renounce a lower taste. Vishayavini vartante niharashidenam raso vajim rasopyasya param drishva nivartate, this higher taste. And so we're already getting that. How many people in maybe 150, something like that? You know, how many people are, how many others would sit in here and listen to a Chaitanya Charitamrita class? Definitely there's a lot of renunciation. I went to a yoga festival yesterday, and, you know, we had a good kit. They put us on the stage. You know, they were all doing these asanas to music, you know. And then we went on the stage and we were dancing to music. We were chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. We got them up for a while. And then I said, but if you want to know more about this philosophy of how we can perform a more amenable type of yoga, bhakti yoga, the yoga of meditation on sound vibration, I said, we have a studio where we're going to hold a class for an hour and a half. So you're all welcome. Then they were clapping. So then we went in the studio. There was nobody there. Actually, two. There was three at first. And then I was speaking it, and this woman got up and says, "I'm an atheist," and she walked out. Then there were other two, and they were more interested in talking to one another than to me. This is not an ordinary situation. We should understand that, you know, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we have so much renunciation. But it has to grow. We have to be so renounced that we're not even slightly attracted to the material energy. And that protection is coming from Lord Chaitanya when he sees the sincere desire in the heart. It's not our ability to be renounced. And so we have to, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said we should be open enough to understand where we are in this world, what our position is, and act in a suitable way. This is why the Varnashram system is there. Varnashram system is to different degrees of renunciation, eventually leading up to sannyas renunciation. But sannyas is not, it's not actually accepted in this day and age. So what are we doing today? Lord Chaitanya gives the example. Even Srila Prabhupada gave the example. Sannyas is for preaching. Lord Chaitanya could see that, you know, nobody is going to take notice of me. I'm just an ordinary grihastha. I have so much to give, but everybody, they don't want to know. If you go to India, it's similar. You walk about in a dhoti, you're just one of the crowd. It's not like being in England, you know. But if you walk about in sannyas, then it's different. So people will listen. So I was thinking, you know, well, you know, nobody knows where a sannyasi is in the West. So who's going to listen to a sannyasi? So, but Prabhupada was told by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati in dreams, take sannyas. And then he questioned his godbrother, he said, take sannyas. He said, you cannot preach Keshava Maharshi, you cannot preach Abhay until you take sannyas. And so, but actually if we really think about it, you know, people are at least people in this room will listen to a sannyas, or they listen to other devotees preaching. Sannyas is one of the ashrams. And so maybe, you know, we can get and actually it is outside. When you go to these festivals, even though they're actually not devotional, they do treat you a little differently. There is an air of respect there. So, you know, Lord Chaitanya knows what he's talking about. Prabhupada knows what he's talking about. So even as devotees, the yoga ladder. We'll talk about the yoga ladder. There's the extended yoga ladder. That means what? First, animal life, which means we don't follow anything. Then karma kanda, Then what's the next one? Sakam Karma Yoga. Go on, I'll give a little bit to Krishna. You know, we voluntarily give something to... Then there's Nishkam Karma Yoga, where we give everything to Krishna, but we do it the way we want. Then there's Kevala Bhakti, we give everything to Krishna the way Krishna wants. And then that leads to Bhava Bhakti. But actually, you know, this is a long way. We go through all these... If we take to this process, then straight away we take to the chanting of the holy name, we can engage fully in Bhakti Yoga. Sadhana Bhakti. What starts with V? What's that word? Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Vaidhi Sadhana. We follow rules and regulations, and very quickly we come to the point of spontaneous devotional service. But that takes time. And if we try to rush it, should we rush it? We've only got a few years left in this world. What do you think? Hands up who think we should rush it. Hands up who thinks we should take it easy. It's two together, isn't it? You know, we have to admit where we are. That's not very easy, is it? We have to admit where we are. And after some years of practicing, we actually know where we are, if we're honest. And then we start to be able to practice. We can practice from where... if we're practicing from another position where we're not at, it's difficult to go forward. We have to come back to where we are. And then we gradually... Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains this point. The first thing is whether we're a devotee or whether we're in material life is to understand what our position is and work nicely in that position. And then when we're ready, or when we actually improve, go to the next position. Go to the next position. So this is our service in devotional service. And it looks like we're all doing the same thing throughout our lifetimes, but internally the actual mood is changing. A mood of renunciation is developing due to, you know, the attitude of service to Krishna. And sometimes we challenge, is that right? Anybody find they get challenged? So many challenges appear in life. But, you know, how we deal with those challenges is so important. We can deal with them in a negative way or in a positive way. Like here, Lord Chaitanya is very positive about inquiring from somebody in a lower caste, a lower ashram. So when we see that there's obstacles, there's two ways we can look at it. Oh, it's too much. I'll never be able to do it, you know. We try, you know, it's just difficult. And what happens then? We don't do it. It's simple, we just stay where we are. And, you know, we become unenlivened. And we start to think that this devotional service, nobody can do it. We start, we become a little bit depressed. But if we think the other way about every situation, positively, then we become enlivened. Yeah, it's possible. And there's the Avanti Brahman. He took sannyas. Let's have a look at the verse. It says, Etam astaya paratmanistam ajasitam purnatama maharshibi andata tarijami durantya param tamo makundari niveshayeva. And he's saying, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of material existence by being firmly fixed in the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now that sounds a little proud, doesn't it? You know, I shall cross over the ocean of material existence by being firmly fixed in the service of the Lord. And if somebody in here said that, they'd be saying, I think you ought to have a word with someone. So, you know what I mean? He's getting a little proud. But actually, this is real humility, because the next part of the verse says, by being firmly fixed in devotion to the Supreme Lord after the ways of previous authorities. They achieve success like this. They're giving me information how I can achieve success, and so I have to take shelter of them. We have a mood of dependence, on our senior devotees, and also a mood of dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's real humility. We're actually taking shelter of Krishna. And then when we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna, by his nature, he'll give us full shelter. Especially Lord Chaitanya. He's the most munificent incarnation of the Lord. And here Lord Chaitanya speaking to Ramananda Roy. He's actually thinking, I'm here. He's taking that stance. And therefore, when we take that stance, we're able to actually absorb so much. Yes, so we're talking about sadhu sangha. This is what this verse is talking about. Taking appropriate shelter of sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastikai. Lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhihai. Does everybody know this verse? A moment's association with a pure devotee can give one complete perfection. And so here Lord Chaitanya is taking association of a pure devotee. He's showing us the way. So one thing, there's three ways, well there's more than that, there's so many ways we can take shelter of a devotee. One is by hearing. This is what Lord Chaitanya is doing. By hearing about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, discussing the philosophy, becoming fixed in our conviction. What's another way? Anybody? Another way we can take shelter of sadhu sangha. Following the instructions, asking questions. This is part of the same thing, isn't it? Taking shelter of, you know, the devotee by hearing and following. What's that? Serving. When we serve a devotee, we don't know how much benefit we get. You know, when we actually serve a materialist, have you noticed when you actually do a little bit of service for even a materialistic person, they're so happy. When you do a little bit of service for a devotee, then Krishna's so happy. And that's, you know, the result of that service will manifest in due course of time. It manifests in opportunities to serve Krishna in even a greater way. And sometimes those opportunities come and we think, you know, I don't have the tools to actually use this opportunity. Has anybody had that experience? You know, in service, we may be actually given the opportunity to do a service and it may be a little bit beyond us, we think. Has anybody had that experience? No, nobody's nodding one way or the other. Yeah? Oh, you've had that experience. Another one, two, three, or it's coming up, four, five. Actually, I had that experience. One devotee came here, Sannyasi, and I was actually the brahmachari leader at that time. I wasn't a brahmachari leader, really. You know, the brahmacharis were actually doing everything. But somehow or other, everybody was busy. So the temple president, can you serve this sannyasi? I said, okay, I'll do that. And so I was doing some service, making porridge and, you know, so many things. And eventually I took him to the airport and he left. And then not long after that, you know, through this sannyasi, I got the opportunity to travel and preach. And I was thinking at that time, you know, I couldn't believe it. I kept pinching myself. What am I doing? And, you know, they toured for about three or four weeks. And, you know, everything went very nicely, you know. And I was wondering, where has this great opulence come from? And then I thought back, service to a devotee. And then as soon as we don't have that mood, then everything becomes different. So we get in so much facility to serve. You ask a materialist to serve, and they can't, and they won't. They just haven't got that inclination. This is coming from Krishna's kripa through that devotee. Any other ways we can get benefit from a devotee? Yeah? Be a monk for a week.
Yeah. What's happened? You see, these people, not only do they become a monk for a week, they get a taste of
it. Yeah.
And they're still around. They keep coming home. And it's an amazing thing. It's something that's. I'm amazed. No, you shouldn't have these people. They should be here. But what I found is you just talk to them and they say, it's fantastic. They're learning to hear. And when they got this taste, they're doing so much. You know, they want to learn more and more.
Yeah. It's a wonderful process. But I've got one problem with this. Is that when they come here, they don't want to leave. So we send them from Manchester and they don't come back. What are we going to do? So, you know, we have to reciprocate. You know, devotional service is... Yeah, so that's right. You know, we get the opportunities like that and the Association of Devotees lifts us. There's also the just personal association. What do you call? We said there's Vani and Vapu, right? Vani is we've talked about hearing from a devotee, getting his instructions, but Vapu is so important. Because Vapu means that we actually see the role model. You know, we can hear the philosophy, but unless we see it in action, it's very difficult to follow. So just by being in the association of devotees and, you know, may not appreciate their qualities straight away, but we start to develop them by actually staying in that association. By being together, Prabhupada said we've built a house in which the whole world can live. By being together, we actually feed off one another. And if it's in a positive way, really, it's the express way. So three things, you know, positive association, observance of other devotees, hearing from them, and what was the other one? Serving devotees. Ramananda Roy is being asked by Lord Chaitanya to explain. I mean, has anybody had any experience where they've received knowledge from somebody who apparently was not a devotee or maybe just a junior devotee? You know, it's there, isn't it? So it's a great lesson. I mean, I was actually put on this path of devotional service by my dad, by my father. And... you know, I think I've told this story many times, but just to highlight this point, is that it was 1969, maybe 70. 69 was the first Rath Yatra. No, there was one year earlier where the car collapsed. So that's not counted. But on this one, 1969, I remember it was a summer, and my father... He called me in the room. He says, come and have a look at this. So I went in the room, and there they were on the 6 o'clock news, dancing and chanting with the Rathcart, you know. I said, where do they come from? He says, they come from India. I said, they're white. I said, and anyway, we were arguing this point. I says, anyway, wherever they come from, he says, this is really religion. I says, how do you know? He says, because everybody's happy. And I thought, he's got a point here. So, you know, from that point, I started taking an interest. yeah, so we can... You know, people are perceptive by association of devotees. I remember once before I joined the movement, I used to be training as an electrician. And one of the electricians, you know, they were arguing about me doing something. And he says, he'll only do what he wants to do. They were talking about me. He'll only do what he wants to do. I thought, I'm not like that. And, you know, I thought that for donkey's years. And then I started to realise, actually, it's true. That there is that actually stubborn streak. So people are perceptive. People are perceptive. We think that, you know, we've got our own private will, but we haven't. People can see through that. So if we surrender to the association of devotees, we develop trust in relationships, we develop humility, then we can purify the heart like that. And this is what Lord Chaitanya is saying in this verse. He's a sannyasi. He's got every reason to, you know, be aloof. And Lord, you know, Ramachandra Roy is showing how we should react to that. We shouldn't want to necessarily preach to somebody who is apparently on a higher level. But, you know, it's actually acceptable if we have the right mood. It's 9:15. So there's just a few things we can say about sannyasa on itself. Is that this verse I quoted about Lord Chaitanya seeing the renunciation of his devotees. He sees that and he becomes pleased. Because actually he knows that the devotee is on the safe side. He's renouncing. Therefore he won't become proud. So a few verses, these are verses to Raghunath Das, the biggest renunciate. And then he says to Raghunath Das, after a few verses, Vairagi Hana Yeba Kari Parupeksha Karya Siddhi Nahi Krishna Karena Upeksha. So it says, this means that a person in the renounced order of life, he should not be dependent on anybody else. This is the whole principle, that in the renounced order of life, we have to have enough faith to be just completely dependent on Krishna. Why is that? If we're dependent on somebody else, it means that we can't speak the truth all the time. Is that right? We have to be careful. But if we're not, we can speak the truth. He says, if we're dependent on others, he says we'll be unsuccessful in the process, and Krishna will neglect that person. So we're all actually sannyasis. We're all following the process of, Nivritti Marg. Nivritti Marg means we're renouncing the material for the spiritual by the gradual process of devotional service. Then the next verse says, Vairagirya Kriya Saranam Sankirtan Sakapala Patra Mula Udarabaran. He says, I like the second half of this verse actually, but he says, Vairagya Kriya Sadhanam Nam Sankirtan. He said, a person in the renounced order of life should be constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, constantly preaching about Krishna. And he should fill his belly with only as much as he naturally obtained, you know. Pala means fruits, saka means, what does it mean? Saka means leaves, doesn't it? Pala. Udarabaran. Udara means belly. Next verse. Gramyakata na shunibe Ramyavartana kaibe. Balana kahibe. Ara balana paribe. A person in the renounced order of life, he should give. He shouldn't speak like people in general, and he shouldn't hear what they have to say. he shouldn't dress very nicely or eat very opulently. So this is another instruction from Lord Chaitanya. Taking prasadam is eating simply, vegetarian food. Not too many gulab jamuns though, not too many sweets. The next one is Amani Manada Hana Krishnam Sadalabe Raji Radha Krishna Seva Manuse Karibe. So don't expect honour from others. Everybody should be listening to this. It's not for this, it's for the whole movement. Don't expect and you won't be disappointed. Don't expect praise from and don't expect but give all respect to others. In your mind, worship Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Always chant the holy name and worship Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. This is the mood. So this is everybody's mood. That we're all always absorbed in the goal of life. We're always glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offering respects to others. And if we're actually in that mood, then success is assured, according to Lord Chaitanya. So I'll stop there. We've got 10 minutes then for any questions or feedback from the devotees.
Thank you, Maharaj. Last stanza, you said, chant holy name, worship Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. It doesn't refer to archanam, actually, process, but as I see, it means chant and meditate deeply on this rasa. So that means worship in that sense.
The holy name is also a deity.
Yeah, so in that sense, yeah, worship Radha Krishna, chant holy name, does refer to archana, complicated than chanting, but means meditating on.
You know, it depends on our advancement. If we're advanced, we can see Krishna in the heart, we can remember Krishna.
Yeah. I mean, in regard to Raghunath, is that Raghunath Das Goswami or this last stanza you said, in regard to instructions to him, Lord Chaitanya doesn't refer to archana in a sense.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, there are 9 processes, and it doesn't mean to say they're actually neglected from this particular verse.
All of them are considered worship, isn't it?
What's that?
All of them, all 9 processes are considered worship.
Well, we have to analyze them. Let's have a look. I mean, what are they? 9 processes. Shravanam, Kirtanam. So Shravanam, Kirtanam is taken care of by always chanting. Smaranam, then we always remember. Padasevanam, we're serving the Lord by preaching, by chanting. Archanam, we're worshipping the Lord by hearing, is in the mind. Mandanam, we're offering Maha mantras of prayer. Dasyam, we're taking the humble role of servant. Sakyam, I'm not sure about that one. This is going on to higher levels. But we're developing friendship with Krishna. Krishna's a friend, he's in the heart. And Sakyam, Atmani Vedanam. And it's precipitating. We should be feeling more and more renounced as we practice devotional service, more and more satisfied with little. Until, you know, we're not bothered. We just want to serve Krishna. That's all we're interested in. So, you know, it seems like everything's there. There was another question, was there?
Hare Krishna. I heard His Holiness Krishna Kshetra Maharaj say that in today's context we could think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas to be respected in society. And as you mentioned, sometimes in Western society they don't understand what is sannyas. And Krishna Kshetra Maharaj said... Krishna Kshetra Maharaj said...
Krishna Kshetra.
Yeah. He said that one could think that in today's context to take sannyas, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, would be to make a PhD to be respected in society. What would you say to that?
He said taking sannyas now is respected in society.
Yes, he said like, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would live now, he maybe would make a PhD instead of taking sannyas.
I didn't get that middle bit. Sorry, I need to get an hearing aid, I think.
He said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in today's time would take sannyas instead of... would make a PhD instead of taking sannyas.
He would take what? Hey?
A doctorate. He would take a doctorate as an education rather than sannyas to be respected.
I don't understand. Say it again.
Maharaj, he's explaining that the contemporary equivalent of sannyas in the 15th century,
all right,
today's world, is a PhD.
Oh, PhD. I forgot PhD, that's also, we're supposed to become very, very learned in the philosophy. It will develop in due course of time. You know, Prabhupada, he was a sannyasi, and, you know, the hippies knew a little bit about Eastern philosophy and about sannyas. And so, you know, they actually respected him. Respect is there. And, that, you know, that's a feeling I got at this yoga festival. They do. People who have got a little bit of knowledge, they can understand. And obviously, yeah, if we're learned, knowledge is a big thing nowadays. And so, you know, Prabhupada wanted us to actually become knowledgeable and learned, and especially... a PhD in Vaishnav philosophy, like Bhaktisarva Bhauma. This will, in due course of time, that'll be recognised. Vaishnav philosophy in the universities, it's being recognised now. So like that. And it's going like that, you know, sannyas, now you need Bhakti Shastri to take sannyas, but it'll be moved up to Bhakti Vaibhava, and then it'll be moved up to... Brahmin initiation may require, and it is required in some places, that you have Bhakti Shastri. Like that. So it's not an indication that a person is actually realised. It's an indication that they're actually interested and they're making the effort and they've reached a standard. And it's the same in anything. You can get PhDs who, you know, they can't apply it in any field. So, you know, we have to apply the teachings. Okay. San, did you have a question? Anyway, Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, Maharaj, he is a PhD, I think. He's definitely a PhD in Vaishnava philosophy.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for the wonderful class. You mentioned that when we are renounced, then Lord Chaitanya becomes happy. And then you also said that devotional service is not a process of renunciation, it's a process of bhakti and getting the higher taste. So what's the connection between renunciation and bhakti, like is it a percentage? Should we just focus on bhakti and renunciation just comes? Like, what's the relationship?
Yeah, both are there. By getting the higher taste, param drishva nivartante, by getting the higher taste, we naturally develop renunciation. But, you know, Krishna wants to see also that we're making an effort. We'll find that sometimes there may be, we've got attraction for the material, and we have to make a positive decision to actually not accept that. This is also a sign of sincerity, that it won't always be, you know, we're completely aloof just by, you know, engaging it, but there's still the attraction there. Do you really want that? Krishna will test us. Do you want this or do you want that? And so we have to be fixed up enough by chanting the holy name, taking shelter of the holy name, that we'll have the strength to actually make the right decision. And we have to understand the philosophy and have the intelligence to make the right decision. Intelligence comes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and strength comes from chanting the holy name and the process of devotional service. And so we'll find that sometimes the material energy is attractive. Quite often, actually. So, you know, we have to take shelter of Krishna in both ways, by performing devotional service and being intelligent enough to make discrimination. Yeah? Yeah?
A little clarification, please, because you said that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking to Ramanand Rai, that Ramanand Rai was from a lower caste, and then you said lower ashram. So please, could you explain the difference between the word caste and ashram? Could you clarify that, please, Maharaj?
Yeah, Varna Ashram, Varna means caste. Ashram means ashram. So, you know, varnas, we know what the varnas are. The four varnas and the four ashrams. Like that.
The word caste is not appreciated in the culture we live in here contemporaneously, is it? But the word varna would be. So are they equivalent?
Well, let's have a think about it. Caste. Yeah, the early, it says Varnashrama, what's that verse now? Atabumbhya dvijashrestas Varnashrama vibhargashah Svanastitasya dharmasha Samsidir haritoshanam. And in the translation it says, if we actually follow our particular duty nicely according to caste divisions and orders of life, it's the same. Orders of life and caste divisions. So there's now we may be thinking about the caste system which was developed due to you know, unscrupulous people wanting to keep the Brahminical class in the family, and therefore, even though they didn't come to the qualification of being a Brahmin, they called themselves Brahmins and lived off donations which are naturally given to the Brahmins. And then, you know, so then they start to make sure that they keep that, and so they start putting, you know, exemptions that nobody can become a Brahmin. It's got to be the next life. You stay in that caste until the next life. So they're safe, you know. You understand? That's how the caste system developed. And so then, you know, things, when they start to go that way, they become more and more corrupted. And so the caste system becomes, it's not a system, it's just like an exploitative system, if you want to call it a system. It's an exploitative system, that's all. But if it's run properly according to, you know, Shastra, then it's a great system. Everybody's happy. Because even the highest caste is not thinking that he's better than anybody else. He's got enough intelligence and enough education to understand what the basis of this system's for. I just have this propensity in this lifetime. If I don't actually use it properly, I'll have an opposite propensity in the next lifetime. Maybe not even a human body. So this is a proper understanding of caste systems, mode of life. And so, in devotional service, we've got traits. Some of us are good at working with our hands. Some of us are good at working with our intelligence. Some like that. So we all have engagement according to our conditioning. And we have to be careful that we don't try to see one as being higher than the other and try to do something which is beyond our ability. Because then that will make devotional service much more difficult. If we're not comfortable in a situation, how are we going to be comfortable in practicing devotional service? Okay. Gantaraj, Sri Chaitanya Chaitanya Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandini.